Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Extreme is a word that may come to mind when describing the behavior of the Saudi regime. However, what seems to be unfolding in Istanbul, Turkey, is beyond extreme and mind-boggling. The disappearance of Saudi dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi seems to have taken place in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. And now Turkish media reports are saying he was killed and dismembered inside of the consulate. As shocking as this is, it isn't the first time that the Saudi regime has been accused of killing those with a different point of view. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Professor of Political Sociology, American University of Cairo, Saeed Sadek, and former U.S. Senate Foreign Policy Analyst James Jatras out of Washington, D.C. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in Cairo. And Saeed, if the Saudi regime has been involved in murdering Khashoggi, what does this mean for Riyadh, an entity which shows zero tolerance for disagreeing with the royal family, especially the king and the crown prince?
Well, of course, what you are seeing now is a big media focus on Saudi Arabia, a lot of criticism. And its human rights record is being, put on the limelight. But in the final analysis, what would happen in the end? The incident, which up till now is not clear if there was death or not, because we don't have a corpus, we don't have an official statement from the Turkish or the Saudi government. All we are getting are intelligence leaks to the press. So it would end up in the following way. Either a political settlement with Turkey and the United States, and the whole issue would be investigated for months and nothing will happen. The worst thing that can happen is that Turkey would expel the ambassador and the consul of Saudi Arabia. They would shut down the consulate. Mm-hmm. But this would affect bilateral trade and relations between the two countries. So I don't know if they will go that far. For the Americans, they want to take more money from the Saudis. So they may help salvaging the regime from this situation in return for economic benefits. I don't think it is in the interest of the United States that the regime falls down.
All right, stay with me, Saeed.
I don't think Turkey would be happy that the regime in Saudi Arabia would fall down.
Turn to D.C. James, why would Riyadh choose to kill its own national in its consulate? I mean, couldn't the regime have picked a less obvious venue?
Well, perhaps they thought that given that they've had a free pass on every other disgusting thing they've done, that nobody would care about this. I think the introduction was excellent in terms of the other people that have been disappeared by the Saudis. And let's remember, every day they literally get away with bloody murder in Yemen, of the slaughtering civilians there. They've supported terrorists in Syria and everywhere else. They probably thought that, as in the past, they had a free pass and nothing would happen. To me, the more interesting thing is why this Khashoggi matter has become such a cause celeb. Suddenly everybody cares about it. And I'm beginning to wonder, especially on the heels of Donald Trump's public comments that the Saudis need to pay up for protection and you won't last 2 weeks without us, I'm beginning to wonder if there's something bigger going on behind the scenes with the Americans and even with the Israelis. Let's remember that Benjamin Netanyahu and Mohammed bin Salman are like the best of buddies. They're like the ultimate Washington power couple. They own this town. And I begin to wonder if some of this public heat being directed toward the Saudis means that his Americans and perhaps Israeli backers are not fully on board with Mohammed bin Salman at this point.
Uh-huh. So you think that perhaps it's being used, actually, staying with you, James, to extort more money out of the regime in Riyadh? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's possible, although I think we could extort more money without making Mr. Khashoggi suddenly a big national figure. Now, maybe part of it is that because he did work for the Washington Post, which is part of the Washington establishment, that he's kind of a journalistic nobility, aristocracy. He's in a different category than these other lesser human beings that we don't normally care about.
Okay.
That could be part of it, but I'm speculating that maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. There's something with MBS that we're not happy with him.
Well, what about that, Saeed? Why would the Saudis have wanted to kill Khashoggi? Tell me, is it just because of who he was or what he has done, or is it just symbolic in general of basically showing that MBS and company has zero tolerance for any type of opposition or disagreement?
Any intelligence service in the world knows how to kill a dissident or an opposition figure. I don't think this was the way that they would have done it. Maybe something happened in a wrong way. Maybe they tried to kidnap him or drug him or investigate, cross-examine him, and something went wrong, and we ended up with this mess. But I don't think they wanted to do. If they wanted to kill him, they would have killed him in Istanbul. In any, you have many refugees, they have many links, and this can be done by any intelligence service. They can hire a professional who would do it. Accident can be, created. Remember how Arafat was killed through chemo, some chemicals. Remember recently in London there was accusation against Russia for trying to kill some dissident with chemical and radioactive material. So the scope for any intelligence service to kill is endless and limitless. And so I don't think they would do it inside the consulate. Maybe they wanted to take him, extract information, something went wrong, and that's it.
What about staying with you, staying with you, sorry to interrupt you. What about if it's possible that, as James had already alluded to, that the Saudis feel so above the law that there is no accountability for them? We see what they're doing in Yemen. We're talking about over 10,000 civilians that have been killed, millions of people suffering as we speak, and basically, mum is the word. So could it just be that, sheer arrogance?
Well, they can kill anybody. I mean, any government can do whatever they want. But the how you do it, that is the difference. I don't think they would have done it in this way. If they really wanted to kill Khashoggi, they had many chances. Remember, the government doesn't fear executing people whom they don't like. Remember what happened to Nemr. He was executed in public, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. Despite all the screams, don't do this, don't do that, they don't care.
Okay, let me get James back in on this conversation. Stay with me, Saeed.
You will not do it outside the car.
So sorry, stay with me. James, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman basically runs the country. Many attribute the erratic behavior of the regime to him basically being at the reins. What do you think, James? Your take on that?
Oh, I think that's correct. I mean, he is the de facto ruler. His father, King Salman, is a doddering old man who doesn't have a handle on anything. MBS is, in effect, the dictator of the kingdom. So whatever happens, I think, has to be laid at his doorstep as to why they would want to go after Khashoggi. Look, on things like Syria, he's been down the line on the Saudi policy, as is the Washington Post. But he has, as I understand it, been critical of MBS. I mean, for all the talk about anti-corruption, he's hardly a poster child for anti-corruption with his yacht and his art purchases and everything else. So maybe that was part of the motivation too. I think the other thing we need to keep in mind here is the guy who's really in the catbird seat on this is Mr. Erdogan in Turkey. As we know, there's a competition between Saudi Arabia and Turkey for leadership in the Sunni world. And I think Mr. Erdogan sort of relishes the extent to which he's got the Saudis sort of caught in a vice here and has a couple different options how he wants to play this to make things hot for Riyadh.
Well, that's an interesting point you just made. But if we look, though, also at Turkey, we have seen back and forth with the Turkish government. I mean, for example, the situation in Syria, we saw actually the Turks and the Saudis side by side and then some distancing. But others might say that Erdogan is concerned about any further separation between Saudi Arabia and Turkey. Your thoughts on that, James?
Well, maybe he is concerned about that, or maybe he wants to take the Saudis down a peg. Let's look at a couple of things. To start with, we have the difference of opinion over the Muslim Brotherhood, with which the Saudis, after decades of supporting them against Ba'athist or secular or communist elements, suddenly decide are a populist threat to the Saudi royalty and to the other Gulf monarchies. But Erdogan is still closely associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, so I think we see that divide between them. He's maybe in a position too to extort something from them, especially since the Saudis and the Turks aren't on the same page in Syria anymore. As we know through the Astana process, that Turkey has been somewhat closer through fits and starts to the Russian and the Iranian position.
Well, Saeed, your take, how much of a role do you think that the U.S. plays in actually emboldening Saudi Arabia?
Excuse me again?
How much of a role do you think that the U.S. plays in actually the Saudis feeling that they are above the law?
Well, remember, the Saudi Arabia was established in the first place through British intelligence. It has been protected by the CIA. Remember what Trump is all the time saying, that you could not have lasted for 2 weeks or even 12 minutes without our protection. So I don't think that this case is going to destroy Saudi Arabia, or that would make a relationship between Saudi Arabia and America collapse. Trump is going to use it for extracting more money and more concessions from the Saudis. That as far as it goes. Mm-hmm. And they will know how to cover up. And I don't think Turkey, which is a member of NATO and have a big interest to keep the relationship with Saudi Arabia at a certain level, not to deteriorate further, because it has already been, even before this case, it was not a happy relationship. Remember the reaction of the Gulf states when the coup attempt took place in Ankara. So there are a lot of tension between the two countries. I don't think it is the interest of Turkey, with its economic facing difficulty, that they would escalate with Saudi Arabia. I don't think Trump also would escalate with Saudi Arabia unless he gets all the stuff that he wants, and he will get it. I don't think the Saudis have much to guts to stand against them. So this case, let's say in a few months, you will not hear much about it.
Well, James, U.S. President Donald Trump has just commented on Khashoggi's disappearance, saying Washington would get to the bottom of it and that Washington could not allow this to happen. So you mentioned earlier that you think perhaps that Washington wants to perhaps get more money or pressure Riyadh. But tell me, how much of this do you think it's really going to happen? Is the Saudi regime going to be held at all responsible for Khashoggi's death?
The short answer is I don't know about Khashoggi, but if you're asking me a big picture, will we manage to extort more money out of Riyadh? My guess is certainly yes. I mean, let's face it, they have been paying pretty substantially through weapons purchases, much of which I understand they simply warehouse. They have no need for it. They're basically, they're paying protection money. And if Donald Trump wants to squeeze them for a little more, I'm sure he'll get it. I think the more interesting question, though, is this. If we look at the way our policy in the region has not been America first, it's been Israel and Saudi Arabia first, especially with regard to targeting Iran. I think if you look at the Trump administration, the people making his policy dance to the Israeli and the Saudi tune. They take their marching orders from Tel Aviv and Riyadh. So the question is where does this fit into that broader regional picture? Does this somehow set back plans for pressuring and confronting Iran. Let's remember, too, that Turkey is about to come up on some fairly massive sanctions in November for their continued purchases of Iranian energy. So there are many different aspects to this relationship.
Indeed. And Said, the Saudis now have paid Western public relations firms a lot of money to change the world's image of this repressive regime. But regardless of the amount of money the regime spends, it appears that it is so oppressive, that the crimes are so vast that some of its crimes will always surface. So tell me, how does this fit into the whole scheme of things? Though trying to show a different image to the world, and the reality sits in, whether we're talking about Yemen or a crime such as this, at the end of the day, is it going to affect how global public opinion sees the Saudi regime?
Well, many of those regimes, including the Saudi, have already a very negative image in public opinion, think negatively of them. Maybe this case would just highlight it. But again, business is business. International relations are not based on principles and humanitarianism. It's based on interest. And so those who have a big business with the Saudis, after a while, they will forget about this issue. Remember, this current Trump administration doesn't care about human rights in the Middle East. They don't give a damn. And we have the international relations, we don't have mechanism. Remember, President al-Bashir in Sudan had been indicted by the International Criminal Court, and nothing happened. And he had been accused of killing thousands of people, not one person, one opposition, no, thousands of people, and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. What about Israel? I mean, it had always been accused of killing Palestinians. Even the most recent one, the marches of return that started in late March. What happened? Nothing. So you will have big noise in the media because they are extorting the Saudi. They are trying to extract more money from them, and they will get it at a price, and that's it. After a while, they will close the shop. Mm-hmm. Who would remember Adnan Khashoggi 6 months from now or 1 year from now? You may be hearing those who supported him, some of his friends, but the rest, you know, they need to go on with their lives.
What about that, James? Do you agree with our guest in Cairo said, and if it is true, where does international law fit into all of this? Because it's not just Khashoggi. I mean, we look, again, I will refer to Yemen, because it's people in mass being killed and have been killed over the last 3 years, and basically nothing is said, nothing is being done. So what is the reference of law? What is one supposed to do when trying to fight against this type of abuse? And we see this disdain, basically, for any type of international law, and nothing being done. Whether we're talking about Riyadh, whether we're talking about Washington, your take, what needs to be done to change this around?
Well, I think you just answered your own question. The question of law doesn't enter into it. It doesn't exist. To the extent to which there's law, if the Security Council can agree on security matters, then you can have some kind of a coherent concept. If they don't, then forget it. The law, there's no such thing as law. What there is power, there's money. To some extent, there's public relations. Look, I agree with the other speaker. They don't care about their image that much. They spend a lot of money, but as we say in the PR game, you can put all the lipstick you want on a pig, it's still a pig. And the Saudi image is what it is. The fact is they own a lot of people because they spend a lot of money. The question is, how far will that go? And I think this does also relate to this image of MBS as a reformer. As we all know, the Saudi regime rests on the Wahhabist fanatical doctrine and its alliance, the Saud family's alliance with the Al-Sheikh clan. I don't know how you reform a state like that, even if you could even call it a state.
All right, and on that note, so sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time. Appreciate you both being with us. Professor of Political Sociology, American University of Cairo, Said Sadek, and former U.S. Senate Foreign Policy Analyst James Jachos out of Washington, D.C. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate, and we'll see you same place, same time tomorrow.